The supramental world exists permanently, and I am there permanently in a supramental body. I had the proof of this even today, when my earth consciousness went there and remained there consciously between 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, I know that what is lacking for the two worlds to unite in a constant and conscious relation is an intermediate zone between the physical world as it is and the supramental world as it is. This zone remains to be built, both in the individual consciousness and the objective world. And it is being built. When I used to speak of the new world which is being created, it was of this intermediary zone that I was speaking. And similarly, when I'm on this side, that is, in the field of the physical consciousness, and I see the supramental power, the supramental light and substance constantly penetrating matter, it is the construction of this zone which I see and in which I participate. I was on a huge boat, which was a symbolic representation of the place where this work is going on. This boat, as large as a city, is fully organized, and it had certainly already been functioning for some time, for its organization was complete. It is the place where people who are destined for the supramental life are trained. These people, or at least a part of their being, had already undergone a supramental transformation. For the boat itself and everything on board was neither material, nor subtle physical, nor vital, nor mental. It was a supramental substance. This substance was of the most material supramental, the supramental substance which is closest to the physical world, the first to manifest. The light was a mixture of gold and red, forming a uniform substance of a luminous orange. Everything was like that. The light was like that. The people were like that. Everything had that color, although with various shades, which made it possible to distinguish things from each other. The general impression was of a world without shadows. There were shades, but no shadows. The atmosphere was full of joy, calm, order. Everything went on regularly and in silence. And at the same time, one could see all the details of an education, a training in all fields by which the people on board were being prepared. This immense ship had just reached the shore of the supramental world, and a first group of people who were destined to become the future inhabitants of the supramental world were to disembark. Everything had been arranged for this first landing. At the wharf, several very tall beings were posted. They were not human beings. They had never been men before, nor were they the permanent inhabitants of the supramental world. They had been delegated from above and posted there to control and supervise the landing. I was in charge of the whole thing, from the beginning and all the time. I had prepared all the groups myself. I stood on the boat at the head of the gangway, calling the groups one by one and sending them down to the shore. The tall beings who were posting there were inspecting, so to say, those who were landing, authorizing those who were ready and sending back those who were not, and who had to continue their training on board the ship. While I was there, looking at everybody, the part of my consciousness which came from here became extremely interested. It wanted to see and recognize all the people, see how they had changed, and check which ones were taken immediately and which ones had to remain to continue their training. After a while, as I stood there observing, I began to feel that I was being pulled back so that my body might wake up, a consciousness or a person here. And in my consciousness, I protested, "No, no, not yet, not yet. I want to see the people." I was seeing and noting everything with intense interest. Things continued in this way until, suddenly, the clock here began to strike 3. And this brought me back violently. There was a sensation of suddenly falling into my body. I came back with a shock because I'd been called back very suddenly, but with all my memory. I remained quiet, without moving, until I could recollect the whole experience and keep it. On the boat, the nature of objects was not the one we know on Earth. For instance, clothes were not made of cloth, and what looked like cloth was not manufactured. It formed a part of the body. It was made of the same substance, which took different forms. It had a kind of plasticity. When a change had to be made, it took place not by any artificial and external means, but by an inner operation. An operation of consciousness, which gave form or appearance to the substance. Life created its own forms. There was one single substance in everything. It changed the quality of its vibration according to need and use. Those who were sent back for fresh training were not of a uniform color. It was as if their body had grayish, opaque patches of a substance resembling earthly substance. They were dull, as if they had not been entirely permeated with light, not transformed. They were not like that everywhere, only in places. The tall beings on the shore were not of the same color. At least they did not have that orange tint. They were paler, more transparent. Except for one part of their body, one could only see the outline of their form. They were very tall. They seemed not to have any bones and could take any form according to their need. Only from the waist down had they a permanent density, which was not perceptible in the rest of their body. Their color was much lighter, with very little red. It was more golden or even white. The parts of whitish light were translucent. They were not positively transparent, but less dense, more subtle than the orange substance. When I was called back, and while I was saying, "Not yet," each time I had a brief glimpse of myself, that is, of my form in the supramental world. I was a mixture of the tall beings and the beings aboard the ship. My upper part, particularly the head, was only a silhouette whose contents were white with an orange fringe. Going down towards the feet, the color became more like that of the people on the boat, that is, orange. Going upwards, it was more translucent and white, and the red grew less. The head was only a silhouette with a sun shining within it. Rays of light came from it, which were the action of the will. As for the people I saw on board the ship, I recognized them all. Some were from here, from the ashram. Some came from elsewhere, but I know them too. I saw everybody, but as I knew that I would not remember them all when I returned, I decided not to give any names. Besides, it is not necessary. Three or four faces were very clearly visible, and when I saw them, I understood the feeling I had here on earth when looking into their eyes. There was such an extraordinary joy. People were mostly young. There were very few children, and they were about 14 or 15, certainly not below 10 or 12. I did not remain long enough to see all the details. There weren't any very old people, apart from a few exceptions. Most of the people who went ashore were middle-aged, except a few. Already, before this experience, some individual cases had been examined several times at a place where people capable of being supramentalized were examined. I had a few surprises and noted them. I even told some people about it. But the ones whom I put ashore today, I saw very distinctly. They were middle-aged, neither young children nor old people, apart from a few rare exceptions. And that corresponded fairly well with what I expected. I decided not to say anything, not to give any names. As I did not remain until the end, it was not possible for me to get an exact picture. The picture was not absolutely clear or complete. I do not want to say things to some and not to others. What I can say is that the point of view, the judgment, was based exclusively on the substance of which the people were made. That is, whether they belonged completely to the supramental world, whether they were made of that very special substance. The standpoint taken is neither moral nor psychological. It is probable that the substance their bodies were made of was the result of an inner law or inner movement, which at that time was not in question. At least, it is quite clear that the values are different. When I came back, simultaneously with the recollection of the experience, I knew that the supramental world is permanent, that my presence there is permanent, and that only a missing link was necessary for the connection to be made in the consciousness and the substance. And it is this link which is now being forged. I had the impression, an impression which remained for quite a long time, almost a whole day, of an extreme relativity. No, not exactly that. The impression that the relation between this world and the other completely changed the standpoint from which things should be evaluated or appraised. This standpoint had nothing mental about it, and it gave a strange inner feeling that lots of things we consider good or bad are not really so. It was very clear that everything depended on the capacity of things, on their aptitude in expressing the supramental world or being in relation with it. It was so completely different, sometimes even altogether contrary to our ordinary appraisal. I recollect one little thing which we usually consider to be bad. How strange it was to see that, in truth, it was something excellent. And other things we consider to be important have, in fact, absolutely no importance at all. Whether a thing is like this or like that is not at all important. What is very obvious is that our appraisal of what is divine or undivine is not right. I even laughed to see certain things. Our usual feeling of what is anti-divine seems artificial, seems based on something that's not true, not living. Besides, what we call life here did not seem living to me compared with that world. Anyway, this feeling should be founded on our relation between the two worlds and on how things make the relation between them easier or more difficult. This would make a great difference in our appraisal of what brings us nearer to the divine or what separates us from him. In people too, I saw that what helps them to become supramental or hinders them from it is very different from what our usual moral notions imagine.